Fluffy Audio Network.
The content of this podcast is provided for general informational purposes only and is not intended as, nor should it be considered a substitute for, professional medical advice.
Sweaty and pissed, menopause makes me sweaty and pissed.
Oh, hello, my darling. Hello. Hello to everybody. This is Sweaty and Pissed, Menopause and More.
Much more.
Much more. I'm Leanne Morgan. I'm a comedian, and this is my darling,
Karen Nickel, family nurse practitioner.
The smartest person in the world.
Yes, yeah, right.
And we're going to talk about vaginal dryness.
Mm.
And while we've got a young man that helps us with this podcast.
Yes,
and,
he does.
And I've wondered if he's going to go off the grid and live in the woods after we have tormented him with all the things we've talked about.
Because
it's gross.
He'll be ruined. Ruined.
But having a mama so smart, because
right.
this is your boy, Forrest,
that's
in here with us, who is yummy. And he's heard a lot of medical stuff all of his life.
Yeah. But my poor husband, you know, my sister will come over and we'll start talking about the M word. And he's like, are we talking about menopause again? Because I'm gonna go watch a ball game or something. It's like, okay, bye. We're talking about menopause.
It's like, I feel like it is a uniting thing with women our age, like it was when you're having your babies. I felt closer to women and had some of my very best friends that I've ever had when we had all had babies together and went to the park and, you know, we'd take a little thing of celery with cream cheese on it, ants on a log, and we'd all eat. And back then we had on big khaki pants and had stains on them. Now little girls wear Lululemon and look like movie stars that are having a bunch of kids.
And how are they affording Lululemon is what
I
want to
know.
We couldn't afford that, could we?
No.
No.
I went to Gap on the sale rack and bought big pleated khakis and khaki shorts, and everybody I knew looked like that.
How did we stay married?
I don't know, because I had big panties. I didn't have nice panties. I mean, we couldn't afford it. I couldn't get my hair highlighted. I had roots down to my ears.
Yes.
Every picture of me with little children at a birthday party, I have on the same white blouse with a stain on it with big khaki pants and a root. And I go to like Lakeshore to walk around the park in Knoxville, and these girls look like movie stars. They've got a double stroller with two babies. They're tiny and built like, you know, tone.
Yeah, what?
Tone with Lululemon on and a spray tan and a big Starbucks.
Maybe they had a surrogate mother. They didn't actually give birth.
It's the craziest thing ever. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I know. It's very different. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so another time in my life where I felt like I bonded with people is now that I'm in perimenopause.
Mm-hmm.
And you get out in public, or I mean, you know, with your girlfriends or whatever, and somebody says something like, I can't think of my name. I've got brain fog. I can't sleep. I'm sweaty. I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to do it. There's only every once in a while there'll be a woman in her 50s that wants to do it.
Yeah.
And you wanted to say, shut up and don't ruin it for all of us. Keep your mouth shut. We don't want to hear that you've still got to drive.
Yeah.
Okay. So vaginal dryness is one of those things that go along with
not wanting to do it.
Not wanting to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens to us, Karen, that makes us, what starts all that?
Yeah. So when you're going into menopause and once you've reached menopause, you're having a drop in estrogen. And estrogen is what keeps those tissues moist, firm, flexible.
Oh.
So not only is it dry, but it's stiff.
Oh, I did not know that, but that makes sense to me now. I think I have a stiff vagina wall. Would that be safe to say?
Yes, that's safe to say. And the problem is then, when you stretch it, it doesn't feel very good. And so that's another thing about the sex drive is that if it hurts, people typically, unless you are into being hurt.
Shades of gray.
Exactly.
You don't want
to do that. It's a slap on the hand.
Okay, can I ask you real quick?
Yeah.
Because you're the smartest person I know. So when you're in your... Well, my husband's smart, but in a mobile home kind of way. Okay, so in a math.
Sometimes.
He's like real smart in math, and I don't, you know, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so... When you're in your teens, you want to do it all the time, and that's against the Lord. And he, why does he do that, wonder? Okay, but that's probably from being back when they were pilgrims, and everybody's supposed to be having babies at 15, 16.
Exactly.
Okay, and then, and you can also, at 18 or 19, sit up all night and breastfeed a baby, and it doesn't bother you. Yeah. Then you can vacuum the next day.
Exactly.
Okay, so you want to, you have your, probably your highest sexual desire when? Is that... What would you say?
I would say, you know, especially once the estrogen evens out, which is sort of your late teens, you know, early 20s. Typically the 20s would be the highest, but a lot of women end up on birth control pills during that time. And birth control pills, because of the high estrogen content, tend to suppress sex drive.
Really?
Yeah. So we get to the golden moment and then we, you know...
We
totally
subdue ourselves.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you have your children and you realize that your husband is not as smart as you thought he was. And that's frightening because you think, oh, crap, is this all up to me? And so then you, that scares you. You don't want to do it. Plus, you're up all night. You've got babies wallowing you and in your butt and touching you and all that, which I wish somebody would want to sit on my lap now, but they don't. But anyway, I just felt like everybody wanted to touch mama.
Yeah.
And then
you feel just depleted.
And then you get in the bed and your husband grabs your breast and you think, could I plot his death? Would somebody find it out? Okay. Then you go through, your children get up in middle school. And somebody's mean to them and bullying them, that probably makes your sex drive go down. Or they didn't make the basketball team.
That's
you
it.
Know, that crap starts happening to you.
Yeah.
And then you, that just
then
kills
worried,
everything.
You're worried and stressed.
Did you go through that? Any of that? You know, the angst that little children have to go through in this mean world.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to watch your kid have those challenges, but they have to have those challenges developmentally.
They do, but I think it affects a man differently. Like my husband would say, they'll get over it and it'll be all right. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I would say, I can't do it. I'm torn up and I've got to eat some ice cream. So I think women cope with it differently than men. But anyway, all right, so you go through stages in your life. So you think having children, all that, that's a...
Well, that's
low time for libido, right?
Well, and it's hard, especially if you're nursing, which is a good thing. I highly encourage that.
Loved it. I loved it.
Highly encourage that. So don't take this as a reason for not nursing. But, you know, while you're nursing, most women don't have periods during that time because the nursing causes your hormones to drop real low. So if when we check hormones in a nursing woman, they look menopausal. They're super low. So, you know, not only do you know have kids hanging on you, but if you're nursing, your hormone levels are going to be really low. And they really drop after delivery too. You know, you have
And that makes sense. I would lose hair. I nursed three babies, and I would almost go bald.
Yeah,
but I don't want to talk women out of doing that because that's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
And I wish I could nurse somebody right now.
And they're always wigs, so
and you can always do a comb over, or you know, or get a little highlight in there. Yeah. Get a little highlight.
We
put a little blonde in there.
We could do a whole show on hair tips. How not to look bald.
But that's just part, all that hormone. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then we go into our early 40s and or late 30s when we're starting perimenopausal symptoms.
Yeah.
And tell everybody what happens then.
Well, yeah, because then, let me back up to the pregnancy thing because when you're pregnant, you're making a lot of progesterone and usually about 400 milligrams a day, 300, 400 milligrams a day, equivalent of progesterone. So your body's bathed in progesterone. And so a lot of people have, women have better sex drive when they're pregnant because of the, that high level of progesterone. Additionally, when your progesterone level's high, we don't lose hair. So we have the most beautiful hair we've
hair,
ever had
yes.
because we're not losing it. And then we have a baby, the progesterone drops, and our hair falls out.
Yeah, okay.
So just like your hair falling out, when you're, you know, after you have a baby, your progesterone drops, and so that your sex drive drops. And then part of perimenopause, it, what happens in perimenopause is our progesterone drops. So you sort of have a double whammy. Say you have a baby at 35. You know, your progesterone is going to drop after you deliver, and then sometimes it never rebounds.
So, and I've had friends that have had a baby at 38, 39, and all they do is just say, like one of them had a little baby named Lydia who's been a doll.
Yeah.
But all of, for now for 13 years, she just goes, Lydia, Lydia, Lydia. She's so tired. She said it almost killed her. Her hips hurt.
Yeah.
And then she just yells, Lydia. So I think, isn't that hard on a woman? And a lot of women are having them now at that age.
Mm-hmm.
God love them.
And when I, a lot of the women that who I see are, I see a pattern of typically they do okay after the first child hormonally. Often it's the second or third child that sort of knocks them out in terms of hormone balance. It's sort of interesting. It's like we have pretty good rebound after the first child, but most often it's like, I remember it was after my second child or my third child that hormones were never right after that.
Well, okay. Now that you say, I mean, I had 3 and 4.5 years and I can remember after having my third one, my little mama was helping me and came to my house and stayed a month.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
she,
nice.
Oh, I know. I've got the sweetest mom and daddy. And she, my dad was still working. So it was her and to help me. And she was doing wash and, you know, cooking and doing, and it was all we could do. And she has always been the most positive person in my ever that I've ever known. Everybody loves her. She plays cards at senior citizens now. She gets invited every day. Everybody loves her. Her name is Lucille. You would love her. She would love you.
I'd like to meet
so
her.
So fun. Glass half full. My little daddy, God love him, precious. Glass half empty. He can say, it snowed here. And it's awful. And I go, Daddy, are y'all all right? Do y'all have food? I mean, because they're in their 70s. And he goes, oh, yeah, we're fine. I'm just saying, this is the worst I've ever seen it. And then Lucille will get on the phone and go, oh, my gosh, our little birds are just playing and doing in the snow. And it's so pretty. But
magical.
Anyway, oh, just magical. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Everything is just, oh, it's the prettiest thing you've ever seen.
That's great.
So I had those three babies.
It seems like 10.
And I remember coming around a corner and my mama was talking to my daddy on the phone and she said, Jim, it's going to take 5 women and 2 men to run this household.
Oh, no.
With these three babies. I don't know what she's going to do.
Not what you wanted to hear.
Yeah, because she has always been my cheerleader. And yes, it's going to be wonderful. It'll be fine. Whatever. It's going to be fine. Don't worry. She said, I don't know how she's going to do it. And I remember that was my heart dropped because I didn't feel good. And I already, I mean, I had, and my husband's an overachiever and works all the time. And he was never, I mean, in the kind of business he was in, he had to be gone
long
all the
hours.
Time. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, what am I mean, I never thought I can't do this and I'm going to walk out in the yard and run in front of something. But I thought, I'm doomed, and I didn't feel good. But then I told you that darling nurse practitioner that I had said, I'm going to put you on. You don't need to get pregnant. That's the last thing you need to do. And she put me on a progesterone-only birth control pill while I was breastfeeding. And I cooked casseroles and Jell-O salads for everybody in Morristown, Tennessee. And I probably had sex a lot.
Yeah.
And that probably got me some fine jewelry. But then after that, when they took me off of it and I quit breastfeeding, I have not felt right since. I know I haven't.
Yeah. I know.
And my weight has fluctuated and I have not. Okay, so I know I get off on a tangent.
No,
so,
it's good. So, they're good tangents.
Well, thank you. You're but so perimenopause, yeah. Then women, all that drops and does and up and down and just a circus.
Yeah.
So that talking about vaginal dryness, so those hormones.
Well, and the other thing is, it's interesting. I get complaints from young women who are on. We're on birth control pills, which is high estrogen dose to shut down your ovaries. They complain about vaginal dryness. So it's interesting. But
would you rather a woman go on birth control or do an IUD? Or what would you want?
Well, you need to choose what's best for you to prevent pregnancy if that's the goal. And you know, what is manageable for you in terms of compliance and cost. And so there are a lot of things to evaluate when deciding on birth control. But an IUD, the positive of choosing an IUD is it's the most effective form of birth control we have. One that has a progestin coating on it will minimize periods. Oftentimes at about a year, that women don't have any period with the IUD in, and you can work on hormone balance because you're not suppressing your own hormones with other hormones, like a birth control pill.
Yeah.
So you can sort of work on hormone balance when someone has an IUD versus oral contraceptive.
The only time I've ever, when I was taking birth control, that was not the progesterone only, but the real birth control pill, I felt like a lunatic.
Yeah. Because estrogen, when it's high, for some people, you know, it worsens migraines, worsens depression. Of course, people gain weight. And so, again, not that they're a bad thing. It's just
that's what happens
for some people. They have mood changes, weight changes. Again, the low sex drive. So there are some potential side effects to using hormonal contraception. I said oral contraceptives, but that also we also have the NuvaRing, which is a vaginal ring with hormones in it. So.
That you insert yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Too much activity.
Well, that's going way up. I don't know. But anyway, we don't have to talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that like, does that look like something you'd open a jar with? Is that what that looks like?
It's a skinny little flexible rubber ring that is real easy to insert and take out. Super easy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's a good option if you're using hormonal birth control. It's a good option for a lot of women because then they don't have to remember to take a pill. You just wear it for 3 weeks and then take it out for a week.
Oh, I thought it was something like a diaphragm that you put in and out during doing you know what.
Yeah, the diaphragm is trickier. You have to get it up over
that's
the
what
cervix.
I'm thinking. That looks like something you'd open a jar with.
It looks like a little cat rain hat or something. Yeah.
Is anybody using that old Depo Provera? Is that still going?
Yeah, that's still going. And we have, that's a progestin, and we have progestin inserts that you insert under the skin in the arm.
Ew.
I know. So we have a few things. We have a few things that are available, but, the IUD is my favorite form of birth control for people.
Well, I saw that on Oprah. And when she was still on about IUD, there was a OBGYN on there.
Oh.
And she said, this was 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And she goes, because of the copper IUD thing back in the 80s or whenever that was, that scared everybody half to death. She said, it really is sad because that's our best thing for birth control. And it is coming back.
Yeah.
And it was the Mirena.
Yeah.
She talked about the IUD Mirena.
Mm-hmm. And I think I think if we get out a generation, that negativity towards IUDs will go away. Unfortunately, people my age know about the Dalcon shield, which was the thing that looked like, you know, like a fighting shield with a jagged edge. It looks like you're putting a saw blade in there. It's crazy. And it would work its way out of the uterus. Yeah. So, or into the uterine muscle. So, so everybody has that idea in their head that it's some horrible thing. And so as soon as our generation's gone,
yes,
it's
just like breastfeeding. Yeah. Generations will go like, well, my little grandmama nursed five, and the one that shot crows on the, you know, that were over her panties on the clothesline, and she could do anything, but she nursed all those babies. Well, then when my mama had us and all my aunts had their babies, she was like, oh, that's what tacky people do.
Yeah.
They're making this new stuff called formula.
Yeah.
And made them, and mama said I would sneak and breastfeed because I didn't want my mama, because she was a lot. She was very Irish
intense.
And passionate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's call it passionate. And my mama would say, oh, I just had to sneak and nurse y'all. And I was like, what? And she'd be boiling Cairo syrup making this country formula. And so then I was like, I'm going to nurse. And I told everybody, and I nursed at Walmart and while somebody was eating a hot dog in the snack bar. I was so proud of that I could make all this milk and it could shoot across a room. I loved it. And my mama was so proud that I got to do it and that I didn't have to hide.
Yeah.
And so I think that was a generational thing.
Yeah. Our parents' generation, they, you know, it was all modern to not nurse. And, you know, they gave medications to dry you up. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And that's not of God. Okay. And then you think now they're how people are squirrely and want and fuss at little women trying to nurse their babies at Dollywood. I mean, I'm like, you go, girl. I don't understand that. But anyway, people are crazy.
I know.
Okay. I know. I'm on a tangent again. All right. So we're in our 40s and we're sweating all night and we don't feel good. And we've eaten too much white flour. We don't feel pretty, and we don't want to do it. Our vagina's dry.
Uh-huh.
We know so we've got to.
What's to do?
Get the house payment paid.
Yeah.
What do we, which that sounds like the Me Too movement. I don't mean to sound like who was married to Fred Flintstone? What was her name? Betty?
Wasn't it Betty?
Or was Betty married to the little short round one?
Fred. Betty was married to Wilma. Wilma.
Wilma.
Was, Wilma was.
I know. I don't mean to sound like Wilma.
You know, everybody listening to this podcast is going, Wilma. Wilma. You brain fogged people.
Oh, in my 20s, I would have gone, Wilma.
I know.
Okay. So I don't mean to sound like Wilma. Like I got to, you know, I'm prostituting myself to my husband, but I have. I have for 25 years now. I've had to prostitute myself to my husband to get all these children educated. I'll just say it.
Nice clothes and jewelry.
I hope these young girls are not out having to do what I've had to do. Okay. So, all right. So we're in our 40s. We're miserable. We don't feel good. Then we
dry vagina.
Dry vagina.
Yeah. So the other things that can happen when you have a dry vagina, besides having painful intercourse, is the vaginal walls get weak because they're not firm and flexible and thick. And so the bladder starts leaning against the front vaginal wall and starts sagging down. The rectum leans against the back vaginal wall, starts sagging down.
What does that feel like? If somebody do you have physical symptoms of that?
Well, if it's sagging, if the bladder's sagging down enough, which is what we would call a grade 4 cystocele, it feels and looks like a ball coming out of your vagina.
An actual ball coming out of your vagina?
Well, not like a basketball.
But I mean, something coming out of your vagina?
Well, it's what you're seeing is the vaginal wall, but it's the bladder leaning against the vaginal wall and the vaginal wall poking out. And because the bladder's roundish, it looks like a round.
But that's the worst you're talking about.
Yeah, that's when it's actually coming out the opening.
Murder. Okay, then, all right, so before that, is that when you start leaking?
Yeah, you can start leaking because the bladder's leaning and so it doesn't empty as well. So we tend to, and also if we don't have estrogen down there, that little sphincter that holds the pee.
Yeah.
You know, keeps the door closed, gets weak. So when we cough or sneeze, out, you know.
Yeah.
Out it comes. So,
and I used to not do that. When my friends would say, oh, I can't jump on a trampoline at somebody's birthday
you're
party.
Like, you're looking at them like, are you crazy?
Yeah, I could always do that.
Yeah.
And then I didn't have any trouble until recently. And I read an article that your brain, that part of your brain controls your bladder too. Mm-hmm. So if you're mm-hmm. not, if you're tired and mm-hmm. you're not sleeping through the mm-hmm. night, your bladder will leak.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through a spell where I was I wasn't sleeping well. And I thought, why am I leaking urine? And I don't mean to be gross, but I mean, it was gross. And I thought, am I going to have to start wearing pants?
Underwear.
And then there's like some kind of tampon looking thing that you can use to keep from.
Yeah.
And I never had that trouble, mm-hmm. but I think it was really, I was tired.
Yeah.
And then when I feel rested, it does not leak, which we were talking about. There's a penny out there that holds a tablespoon of urine.
Is that crazy?
And Forrest is never going to have a child with anybody if we don't quit talking about this in front of him. Just look at your phone. Anyway.
We're going to have to invest in a good pair of earplugs for him.
Yeah, we are. Or a therapist.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, all right, so you in the sphincter, all right, the rectum, what in the world happens to your darn rectum?
It's like Leanne's like, oh no, this is in my future.
Well, I feel like my rectum's been funky. Yeah. What do you think? I feel like that. What happens?
Okay, so the rectum is directly behind the back vaginal wall.
Yeah.
Okay, you got that pictured.
Yeah.
So when that vaginal wall gets weak, and the rectum is that area, say that is full of stool, it starts pressing against that back wall and it starts sagging. And that's what we call a rectocele. So when that happens, you end up with sort of this little pouch in the rectum. And so you hang on to a little, like it's like stool going into a little eddy, you know, it just.
Oh my Lord.
Up there. And so that, so some people end up having like a little leakage when they don't.
Oh, great. That'd be good if somebody's trying to date.
Yeah.
So, okay. So do you ever feel like you can't empty your rectum? Yeah, like there's something sitting there.
Yeah. And you can't fully empty.
Okay. I'll just say, yeah, I have had that where I thought, okay, something is terrible wrong with me. And I know that I go to the worst in my head, but I thought, oh, something is terrible wrong with me. So that's normal.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing that can really help with that, first of all, we'll talk about this later, but, you know, using vaginal estrogen can really help because it keeps those walls strong. So when things lean against it, it doesn't collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And doing pelvic floor exercises like Kegels helps keep everything from collapsing down.
Can I start my Kegels now? I've done them. I'll do them while we're on here.
Yeah.
But I have done them in my life, mm-hmm. but then I have brain fog and forget to do my Kegels. So a woman can start that at any time
It'll help. And so I tell people in terms of remembering to do it, I tell women, do it at every stoplight when you're driving around, or do it. Of course, we don't watch commercials anymore, so I got to change this tip. But you know, I used to say, do it at every commercial when you're watching a TV show. But because if you can do it several times a day, you know, for a couple minutes, that really helps.
And that is squeezing, holding.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, when the pelvic floor muscles are really weak, at first it's just like squeeze. Squeeze, squeeze. And then as they get stronger, you're going to do squeeze, hold. And it's the muscles that we use to stop and start the flow of urine. So you can sort of find out where those muscles are by, you know, when you're peeing, you can stop.
Yeah.
And that you'll know what muscles are. Because sometimes when I have people try to do a Kegel exercise, they'll like squeeze their butt muscles. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, it ain't your butt.
No, not the butt.
Okay, let me ask you. So vaginal estrogen comes in a cream form?
Cream form. I mean, this would be prescription.
Okay.
And we have a couple manufactured products. We have Premarin vaginal cream. We have Estrace vaginal cream, which is just estradiol, which is what we would call bioidentical. It's identical to the estradiol that we make. Premarin vaginal cream is the horse estrogen, conjugated horse estrogen. And then we have things like Vagifem, which is a little estrogen tablet, estradiol tablet, that is preset on a one-time use applicator, and you just pop it in there.
You put it in your vagina.
Yeah. So the upside to that is you're not cleaning out applicators. You don't have cream glopping out, you know, so it's a good choice.
And it's a one-time thing?
Well, no. Oh. You do it. Usually we dose those twice a week.
Okay.
And then we can do compounded vaginal estrogen, and we can do either estradiol or estriol, which is a very weak estrogen, but it really helps the vaginal tissue. And that can be done in cream form. We can do it in a triturate, which is a little pellet-sized, well, it looks like a little pellet, that you just pop in there. Again, you know, you don't have to deal with applicators or cream coming out.
When does a woman need to come in and when does she need to say, I need a pellet or a tablet?
Yeah.
Or a
something's
cream,
gotta go
right?
Yeah.
I need to do something.
I mean, if you're having vaginal dryness, pain with intercourse, increased bladder leaking or starting of bladder leaking that you never had before, you know, sometimes with vaginal dryness, even if you don't have pain with intercourse, it can feel itchy, and I mean, it feels like sort of like you have a yeast infection, but you don't. Sort of itchy and burning, and so if you're having any of those symptoms, it's good to address that with vaginal estrogen if that is appropriate for you, because it will help prevent pelvic floor collapse, help prevent the pain with intercourse, leaking. And actually, women, they have studies showing this, that women who use vaginal estrogen, it really helps reduce vaginal and urinary tract infections. So if I have someone who has recurrent UTIs, I will start them on vaginal estrogen, again, if it's appropriate for them, to help prevent urinary tract infections.
Okay. I promise. I know that I come in and go, I know I've got so and so, and you have talked me out of it.
Don't ever go to med school. You'll have every disease there is. No,
but I think I need a tablet and a pellet.
Yeah, we do.
I think.
Well, look. We'll start that, and then you can give a report in another episode how that's going.
Because I've wondered if I had a UTI lately.
Yeah.
I really have had those symptoms,
no,
and I thought
I'm glad you're letting me
I need
know.
To get into little Karen.
Yeah.
Okay. So are there side effects of using any of these things?
Well, if you because we dose it just usually two, sometimes three times a week, and it's a low dose, you don't get a lot of systemic absorption of that estrogen. Additionally. Because it's a low dose and it's twice a week, if we took serum levels of your estriol or estradiol before we started that treatment and after we started that treatment, it wouldn't move those serum levels. I have had some, and this happens, some menopausal women who still have their uterus, when they start vaginal estrogen, sometimes they'll have some spotting.
Mm-hmm.
So that may require some dose adjustment, or just, you know, sometimes just with a little time, it all resolves. But typically it's the other possibility is if you have a sensitivity to the cream or the ingredients in that pellet.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen very often, but that's a possibility too.
Okay. So when somebody is experiencing vaginal dryness, say,
mm-hmm.
just that,
mm-hmm.
and they're not having the bladder and the rectum and all that going on. What do you tell people that they can use while they're having intercourse.
Non-hormonal options.
Yeah.
So there are quite a few non-hormonal options. One is using coconut oil because it has, there's only one ingredient, coconut oil, and you're not putting a lot of preservatives and that kind of thing in there.
And it feels natural.
Yeah.
I mean, feels.
Yeah. And it's a good lubricant. It's very good lubricant.
Oh.
Good old coconut oil. So many uses. But
I know you can put it on your hair.
Yeah.
And, you know,
your,
and
your
and
teeth, your
feet.
Yeah.
On your teeth.
Oh, yeah. If you put like a teaspoon of coconut oil in your mouth and let it melt, you know, it melts when it gets warm, and just swish it around.
Yeah.
You can swallow it or spit it out. It decreases bacterial load and actually is sort of a natural teeth whitener. I know.
Did you? How often do you have to do that for it to whiten your
teeth?
Every day. Okay. All right. So you can use coconut oil, and your husband won't have to know that you're miserable. So you can just keep a little coconut oil by the bed.
Yes.
Okay.
And then there are over the counter products like Replenz, which is a vaginal moisturizer. You use it, you know, a couple times a week. And the upside of that product is that it's also a pH balancer, so it, you know, keeps the vaginal health better. So those are two. I mean, of course, you can use KY or Astroglide.
I've heard of Astroglide. Years ago when I still had hope. All right, what about, okay, so the KY, is that... Is that a, like an old school? Nobody, I mean, is anybody using that anymore? Is it still good?
Yeah, but it does have preservatives in it. And I mean, it just depends on what you're comfortable with. But if you want something that doesn't have any of that stuff in it, coconut oil is a really good option.
Okay. And there's prescriptions for things. Is that what you're saying? That if you don't go the over the counter, are there medicines for that too? For the, just the vaginal dryness.
Yeah.
The estrogen, all that we talked about, the pellets and all that.
That's prescription.
And that can be just for if you have vaginal dryness, not all the bladder and the rectal and the all
right,
that.
Right.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I need it.
Because the other things, the lubricants are just that. They're just giving you lubrication. So they're not going to improve the vaginal tissue.
Okay.
The other thing that vaginal estrogen does is it helps, you know, we have good bacteria in our vaginal area, and it promotes healthy bacteria. It being vaginal estrogen promotes good bacteria in the vaginal area. So it helps you fight off opportunistic organisms like yeast or other bad bacteria.
Oh, Forrest, my darling. Bless his heart. If my son was in here, I mean, he'd just walk out and go fishing is what he would do. He can't take it.
Forrest is such a gamer.
He is.
He is.
You doll. Okay, so, I was going to ask you something, and I forgot because I have brain fog.
Well, I was going to tell you, while we're on the bladder thing, about my mother's bladder.
Yes.
Which I know you're all dying to hear about.
I do want to hear about your little mama's bladder.
My mother had five children. I'm fourth of five. And she passed away secondary to dementia back in 2005. Oh. But even when she had dementia, she bragged about how good a bladder she had. I don't leak. I have a great bladder. I had five children. I have a great bladder. I mean, she had dementia. She's like, I have a great bladder.
So she get out in social situations and tell people about her bladder.
I just thought that was crazy. But now that I'm menopausal, I'm like, I can see why she brags about that. Bragged about that.
I know. Because
it's a big deal.
It's a especially
big deal.
Five kids. When I thought, I wanted a fourth baby, and my daddy said, do you want to be like your grandmother? And your bladder fall out or whatever happened to her, but she leaked and had a horrible time. Let me tell you how my mama used to brag on me. She would say Leanne loves vegetables, and Leanne will eat cabbage and pinto beans all day. And I thought What? I thought, well,
what an achievement. I mean,
well, my people, farming people.
Oh, well, yeah.
So I guess that's a big deal when you, and but my sister was very picky and ate like Snickers and steak.
Oh, I see.
And a pound of bacon. And she wouldn't eat anything else and wouldn't eat vegetables. So Lucille would get out and say, Leanne loves a pinto bean.
Wow.
Loves a pinto bean. And, but, you know, I had other gifts and she knows it. But that's not, you know, it wasn't like Leanne can write a paper or,
yeah,
which I couldn't, but I mean, I didn't care. But Leanne's athletic. I was athletic. But no, that wasn't it. It was, yeah, the pinto beans.
Yeah, she got stuck on that.
But when you told me that I could get pregnant recently,
yeah,
I was very proud of that,
yeah,
for myself. So I'll be like your mom and I'll say, you know, I could have gotten pregnant at 52.
Yeah, you could have.
Still could.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, I mean, you think I can? I think
the last time we checked it, it was a possibility. Yeah. Who knows? It changes.
I know.
It shifts around.
I know. But it's not going to happen.
But there for a New York minute, you were in menopause, and then, boom, you could have had a baby.
I could have had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my husband, and he just stared out into space.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want any more children with me. I think he would have them with somebody else.
I was going to say, has he picked somebody?
Probably somebody young, yeah, who her urine is not like
nice and
yes. Because let's talk. Okay, so the panties, I know we're running yeah, late, but the panties, there are the underwear for that
I know,
that do not
leak
and carry odor. Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to be gross, but yeah, that's part of life.
Yeah.
It's the way God made us. There's yeah, an odor.
Yeah.
There's an odor. Sorry, Forrest, there's an odor. And I just have experienced this lately where I've thought, what the heck is wrong with me? What is going on with me? So that is normal because all this is leaking,
yes,
and doing.
And there are things that we can do to help that.
Oh, praise God.
So, I mean, if you want to invest in the PP underwear, you can grab a pair of those. But
yeah, they're not pretty. But my girlfriend bought them. She's got them, and she said they're wonderful for all that. But if you want, you know, to keep the moisture wicking thing away from you and odor and
well, thank God in the 21st century we have something like that.
I know.
Lord.
I'm just in
the nick of time.
That can you imagine having to go on a date in your 50s? Not that I would do something unbiblical.
Yeah.
With somebody I don't know and showing my bladder panties.
After you show your arms, bladder panties.
Yeah, I would show my arms first.
Then the bladder panties.
Yes. And I would try to act like I don't eat anything in front of him on a date. Did you ever do that? I would.
It's been so long since I've dated.
I remember that. I'd be like, I just want a wedge. And I think, I could eat a dog. I'm so hungry. But, you know, I didn't want a man to think I ate. Isn't that crazy?
I know.
And married a big man, and he sees me eat like a Trojan every day. I don't know, but I should be still that coy little something in front of him.
There's an idea, dating diet. Just go out with people you don't know.
But you feel so conscious in front of. Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. I'm tickled to know about.
We're going to get that fixed for you.
Thank you. I need it fixed because lately I've been having things and I've thought, you know, my mind went to, oh, I've got something horrible wrong with me.
Well, I'm glad we had this podcast.
I am, Lord, too.
Who knows when you would have told me that?
I know. And there's little women out here leaking urine and don't know.
Trail of urine.
Okay. Well, all right, my darling. Next time. Okay.
Bye.
Sweaty and pissed. Menopause makes me sweaty and pissed.